Glad I'm filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad I'm on my way to the city whose builder and maker is the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glad to be at Truth Camp 2022. And I didn't even realize that last year was 20 years ago that we started around Lumberton, Texas, in a, I don't know if that was a Lutheran or a Catholic church. I don't know what that thing was. All I know is we were in a building, and when you started playing and singing, it was a continual roar. That's just what it was. Those that were with us, if you preach, you could hear something every once in a while. But all I know is at the end, we would get to the altar service, and some of you that were in those camps those days are now married and in ministry. And what a great reward it is to know the power of God is still in operation. Amen. Glad to have my children with me. And Jay's going to talk to you real quick. We're going to sing, and then I'm going to get right to preaching.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's with you guys. I'm so excited to be here. This was the camp I went to since I was very little. I remember times where I would come and I'd pray in these altars. And it was actually here at Truth Camp whenever the Lord called me into Bible college. And I remember the Lord spoke, and it was from a preacher. He was talking to that pastor's daughter that was out there that didn't want to go to Bible school. And he said, "You need to go to Bible school. There's a preacher in the pulpit." And I was like, "Oh, that's me." And I was like, "Okay, Lord, you telling me." I went home and I went and I applied and I went to Bible school. And I know that this week God is going to be calling you to things. He's going to be moving in your life. He's going to be filling you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to be praying that God is personal to you, because he knows the thoughts that he thinks towards you that he says in Jeremiah. He knows his plans that he has for you. And this week, those plans, if you will accept them, he is going to pour them into your life. He's going to speak into your life, and he's going to be personal to you. We have a table set up in the back there, Brother Seth. He'll be here all week talking to you about the school. You can sign up. We're going to have t-shirts that will go out. You can win a t-shirt, different things. Go back there and see Brother Seth, and I'll be praying that you guys just begin to pour into these services. Pour into what God wants you to do, because I'm telling you, if you'll follow what the Lord is asking you to do, that will never be anything else, but it'll be the safest place for you. You'll have the most peace. You'll have the most joy, because you'll be in the will of God. And if you would, we're just going to stand up, and we're going to begin to sing and worship before Pastor Brian preaches.
Praise the Lord. Sister Lindsay is going to sing this morning. We're going to attempt to sing with her.
I want that holy anointing Isaiah spoke about. That precious anointing that only God gives out. Thrill you, feel you, and give you liberty.
I want that
holy anointing flowing deep inside of me.
I want that
holy anointing Isaiah spoke about. Precious anointing that only God gives out.
It will thrill you, fill you, and give you liberty. I want that
holy anointing flowing deep inside of me.
Isaiah in the spirit, he had good news to bring. For all the hearts that would listen, came a message from the King. Blessed atonement is the power that we need. I want that
talk about. Precious anointing that only God gives out.
Let's praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all, let me sing a chorus to a song. Give me about an E flat. I don't know if you know this. It's like this. Well, Jesus is moving in this place. The King of all glory is passing your way. Just reach out and touch Him. You'll never be the same. Jesus is moving in. Oh, Jesus is moving in this place. King of all glory is passing your way. Just reach out and touch Him. You'll never be the same. Jesus is moving in this place. Oh, we've come into His presence with weary hearts and minds. We all have this in common. We're fighting for our lives. If you need a place of refuge, His arms are reaching out. If your body needs healing, the healer's in the house. Oh, Jesus is moving in this place. The King of all glory is passing your way. Oh, just reach out and touch Him. You'll never be the same. Jesus is moving in this place. Well, He's breaking every stronghold of fear and unbelief. All the powers of darkness must crumble at His feet. Every spirit of oppression must go in Jesus' name. For the Holy Ghost is moving. It's moving in this place. Oh, Jesus is moving in this place. Sing with me. The King of all glory is passing your way. Just reach out and touch Him. You'll never be the same. Jesus is moving in this place. Well, He's breaking every stronghold of fear and unbelief. All the powers of darkness must crumble at His feet. Every spirit of oppression must go in Jesus' name. For the Holy Ghost is moving. He's moving in this place. Well, Jesus is moving. He's moving in this place. Come on, help me. The King of all glory. hands. Let's begin to praise God together. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to need a monitor, brother. My voice is blown, and I'm not as strong as Brother Scott. And so I want to be able to preach Friday night in Russellville and next week in Mississippi and the week after that in Maine. So, amen. I understand what it is. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you in the house of God. And I want to, as you turn into the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 2, I want to say what a momentous time it is for you to live. This generation, you, the people I'm preaching to this morning. What a powerful time it is to be alive and to have the opportunity to put your hand on the anointing of the Holy Ghost and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Did you realize that we are in the last days? Do you realize we're in the last days? Do you realize that Joel said, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That means God's still calling prophets even to the last day. What is a prophet? A preacher of the gospel. I believe that God wants to do something in this house. I so enjoyed the preaching of the word of God. Our good friend, Brother Scott, we love them and so much. Their family, we've known them nearly our whole, my wife's known them her whole life. And I think I probably met them around 18, 19 years old. And been wonderful friends and colleagues in the ministry. And you're going to have a powerful week this week. Would you let me preach a while out of 2 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 9. If you have your Bible and you got that verse or it's on the screen, say amen. Amen. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That's what I desire. How about you? You're at this camp. I know what goes on at camp, but the main reason I do believe you're here is to get something from God that you've never experienced in your life. Is that right? And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass that as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Can I preach a little while this morning on this simple thought? The high cost of the true anointing. The high cost of the true anointing. Would you stretch your hands toward me? Pray that God would help us to preach this morning. Father, we love you, Jesus. We're thankful, God, for the blessings of the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, help me pray.
Father, we love you, Jesus. We are so thankful for the great privilege of standing behind your desk and declaring the word of God once again. It is the, Lord, the privilege of our life, God, not only to preach, but God, to a generation that will see the coming of the Lord. We will experience, Father, the rapture of the church. And God, I know that in the days ahead, there will be needs, Lord, of many of these young people, that God, they will be put in positions where that only the anointing can answer. I pray that God, you would do that work for them. Anoint us to preach, God. Give us every word directly from the throne of God. And God, we pray, arrest this house. Let the Spirit of the Lord move. Come on, church. Help me pray right here. Why don't you slip your hands and say, Lord, deal with me. Lord, deal with me. God, speak to my soul and my heart. And God, we'll give you the praise for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody that loved him shouted amen. You can sit down. Just don't sit down on me, as one preacher says. Amen. What is the anointing worth to you? What is it worth to you? What is the anointing worth? Not so much in numerical value, but what is it worth to you? What is it that you would pay, amen, to house and to have this anointing in your life? Well, first, Elijah the prophet, he treasured the anointing. He desired it. He loved that anointing. The man of God, he was the spokesman for the Lord. As a matter of fact, God spoke to him and said, go right into Ahab's house and deal with Ahab and Jezebel. But after that he did so, it wasn't very long until Jezebel said, if you are still living and breathing by tomorrow, I will have failed at my task to take you out. Whenever that Elijah spoke against what was going on in the governmental structure, then that governmental structure began to strike out against him, to the point that Jezebel said, I am going to kill you. I can tell you this, generation, as I'm speaking to an Elisha generation this morning, we have not yet experienced the attack that our brothers and sisters around the world have already begun to experience. In Indonesia today, there are Christians that are losing their life but will not relent because the anointing that is on the inside of them is greater than the fear of man on the outside of them. I can tell you, friend, there's nothing like serving the Lord Jesus, and time will bear it out for those that are serving the Lord to whether they are truly sold out or they're going through the motions. Because if you're going through the motions in a few more days, even the trouble of this world is going to cause you to run back to the God that you serve. However, if you're truly serving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength, then there is absolutely nothing that the world can do that would pull you away from the love of God and the anointing in your heart and life. Amen. Elijah had come to that place. His life was threatened, and he ran off and said, Lord, it is enough. It's enough. I've done all I need to do. I can't do anything else. And he sat down and said, it's enough. The Lord never rebuked him for saying that it was too much. On the contrary, he sent an angel of the Lord. He cooked for him a meal. After that, he prepared that meal. He said, get you a nap. You're tired. One of the most spiritual things you can do when you're about to contemplate whether or not you're going to go on or not for God is get some sleep and get some rest. I know that was spiritual, so amen. Get you a nap. Amen. Rest some before you start saying what you are and you're not going to do. So he let him go to sleep. As a matter of fact, he woke up again and then he said, I'm going to prepare you another meal. And he prepared that next meal. He said, eat this because you're going to go on the strength of it for 40 days. This morning, Truth Camp, I pray that we have an altar experience that's going to give us strength that will last longer than today's. Amen. I want you to touch God this morning, tonight, in these services, during the day and the night, whomever is preaching, and get a touch from God that would last you longer than the altar service. Because, honey, you need the Holy Ghost to go home with you. You need the Holy Ghost to go into that school with you. You need the Holy Ghost to go into that relationship with you. You need a touch of the power of God. Say amen. He had come to the place where he said, I've gone as far as I can. The Lord didn't rebuke him. He fed him and let him go to sleep. After that he rested, he said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to rise. I want you to go anoint two kings, Hazael over Syria and Jehu over Israel. And then I want you to go down and I want you to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, as prophet in your stead. Now, the first two, I believe, was fine with Elijah. But when he heard the words that God spoke to him, go and anoint Elisha in your stead, I believe that Elijah's heart sank. You see, as a young man, I read this passage of scripture from a young man's point of view. I read it from where you're sitting today. But now then, with a little gray hair on the top of my head, I'm reading this from a different perspective. Matter of fact, the scripture bears it out. Whenever that Elijah rose up, anointed the two kings, Hazael and Jehu, after he left, he went down. The Bible says that he walked past Elisha that was plowing in the field, draped his mantle over his shoulders and kept on walking. Amen. The scripture talks about how in context it says that basically Elisha had to get up and run up to where Elijah was, catch up to him and say, hey, if you'll let me kiss my mother and my father goodbye, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. Then the word of the Lord says that Elijah looked at that young boy and said, what have I done unto thee? Basically, what that bears out is Elijah was saying, if I had it my way, I wouldn't have draped my mantle on your shoulder. I would still be the prophet. I would still be the man of God. However, God has finished with me, and the kingdom of God is bigger than I am. So now then, it is my responsibility to make sure that this anointing that is rested on me is resting on the next generation. Can I tell you something? Amen. You know why all these old men and these old women come up to this youth camp 22 years in a row? Do you know why they drive from Mississippi? Amen. Bleary-eyed. Wife is fussing at him because she didn't want to drive 9 hours. Come on. Do you know why that we do what we do? Because it is imperative that the anointing of the Holy Ghost that I have experienced is also going to be in your life and in your heart. You need the power and the might of God flowing in you. I cannot die until this anointing is in your life. I can't impart it, but I can expose you to it. I can help you understand that there's something that can dwell on the inside of your life like you've never known before. Amen. David said, Lord, don't let me depart. Don't let me die until I've showed thy strength and thy power to that next generation. You know why I'm here this morning? It's because I want you to walk out of this place a prophet of God. I want you to walk out with the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord in operation in your life. Amen. So Elijah, it's your responsibility. If you're in this place and you're an older man or woman, it is your responsibility to make sure that this generation is exposed. Amen. to the true anointing. There's so many jackleg preachers that are in this area around us, all over us. Amen. You used to think that in the Bible Belt and in the South, we were kind of shielded from some of the crazy shenanigans that goes on in the household of faith. But now then, it's crept in all around us. It's everywhere. So it is imperative that we get this anointing into the next generation. Not just some strange anointing, but the anointing that will open the blinded eyes. The anointing that will cause deaf ears to be unstopped. The anointing that will look at a dead man and declare, "Thou shalt not die, but live," and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Now then, let me talk to you, Elisha. What is the anointing worth to you? I talked to Elijah for a moment. Now let me talk to you. Amen. I don't know if I'll have to stand on my head to get you to hear me after you ain't slept, but I'll do whatever it takes. I've done youth camps enough to know. Amen. What is it worth to you? Are you truly hungry for the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Is this about a week of games? Is this about a week of fun? Is this about finding your husband and your wife? What is this about? Maybe all of the above. But let's move the priorities around. Let's make sure that if I don't get a husband, if I don't get a wife, if I don't win any trophies, if I don't win the spirit stick, I leave this house with an anointing that will change me for the rest of my life. Come on here. What's it worth to you, Elisha? Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He had everything. He was rich, but he had to make a choice. In one hand, he had security. In one hand, he had wealth. In one hand, he had a place where he could work and have sufficiency all of his life. In the other hand, he had the opportunity to follow the will of God. In the other hand, he had the chance that he could serve God and live for God and let God supply his every need. Can I tell you, dear friend, that I've lived this life now as an adult over 30 years working in the kingdom of God. Every need that I've ever had has been supplied. Everything I've ever had to have, God has supplied it. Don't you worry about what you're going to do for money in your hand. The Lord said, don't take two coats, don't take the purse or a script. You go in the power of God and I will supply your every need. Come on now. You got to make a choice. So here it is. Elisha, and both of your hands are potential. But what are you going to do? What is it worth to you? I've heard preachers say, "Lord, give me anointing. Make God fill me with the anointing of the Holy Ghost." There's a lot of times in altar services, people do more shouting over the anointing than they do praying for the anointing. Amen. Sometimes we need to say, "Lord, I've made up my mind. I'm all about shouting. I'm all about running around the aisles. I've run till my legs nearly would fall off some nights." But let me tell you, sometimes you got to stand still long enough for God to pour it in the spouts. Amen. Instead of shouting about it, why don't we stand there and say, "Lord, I'm not moving an inch until I'm filled with that anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. I'll stand here with my hands up. I'll stand here in prayer and supplication, believing God to meet the need." I'm believing it. Say amen.
Amen. Preach.
I've heard preachers say, "God, pour me full of the anointing." The first thing you got to understand is God is not going to pour 10 gallons of anointing in an 8-ounce glass. The first thing you got to do is you got to make room for the anointing. Amen. Let me give you a real quick way to understand about your priorities. Amen. Most of you got iPhones, is that right? Or some form of it. And I know on the iPhone, it gives you a weekly update of how many hours per day you spend on that phone. Is that right? I think they all turned Episcopalian on me. Nobody saying amen or nothing. Do you want to compare your time spent on your electronic device with your time spent in a prayer closet? Come on, y'all. It's got to get tough before it gets better. Amen. If you compare, look, you ought to look at your screen time. And if it probably, some of you, I would venture to say, has got 5, 6, 7 hours of screen time on that phone. And I wonder if we pray half as much or a quarter of as much, but yet we come to an altar saying, Lord, here I am, fill me up. No, God is saying, before I fill you up, why don't you empty yourself out? Come on, you want the real anointing. You've got to make room for the real anointing. You can't be in a place where the anointing is in full operation when there's more in your brain about social media than there is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Make room for the anointing. Ah, this is what happened after that. He said, what have I done to thee? He said, well, I'll take this mantle. I'll follow you. Then Elijah said, this is how I read it as a young man. Elijah said, well, the Lord is sending us, and he's going to send me to 4 different places, Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan. And I'm going to take you there, and I'm going to train you ministry. That's how I read it as a young boy. That ain't what the Bible says. That is not how the Bible says it. Elijah looked at Elisha and said, the Lord hath sent me. Not us, me. Let me tell you something. These 4 places that we're about to visit in the next few moments, every preacher, every woman of God, man of God, that is going to house and operate in the anointing of the Holy Ghost must also visit these same 4 cities in the Spirit if you're going to house and possess the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Even Elijah said, I'm going. Amen. God has sent me here. And Elisha said, if you're going, then I'm going to go. If you've got to go to these 4 places to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to go to these 4 places as well. Because listen to me, you're going to have to go to these 4 places if you house the anointing. You might go at the beginning of your ministry, or you might go at the end of your ministry, but everybody that will house the anointing will go to these places. Shout hallelujah. He said, I am going to Gilgal. You stay here. I'm going to Gilgal. Elisha said, if going to Gilgal is a prerequisite for me to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to Gilgal. You're not going to stop me. That's what I want you to do for the rest of this week. That's my assignment this morning. Whether you shout, whether you run or you jump, I want to be a part of getting you focused into where you're going throughout the rest of this week. Amen. If God is sending the old men to go to Gilgal to be able to house that anointing, then so must the young. You say, well, he was the prophet. Yes, but I believe that he stopped short of what he must have done. He had reached the zenith of his power. But I can tell you, I think that if he had never quit, if he had been to Gilgal first, if he had been to these other places first, we might have seen an Elijah that done triple what he might have done. I don't belittle Elijah's anointing. But the first place is Gilgal. What does that mean? Gilgal is the place where the children of Israel first crossed over and they were circumcised. It's a place that means rolling and rolling and rolling away. It means that God was going to roll away the reproach from off of their life. I'm going to get very real with you from here on out. So you might want to buckle up for a little while.
Even the first thing that's going to happen if you're going to house the anointing is you've got to go to Gilgal. You've got to go to the place, the same place that the children of Israel did when they were circumcised. What does that mean? That circumcision, the children of Israel left Egypt, and for the 40 years they didn't circumcise their boys. They left them, amen, and they let them go on their merry way. Well, now then they went in to fight the first battle inside the promised land, Ai, and they lost. And they said, what's the problem? And when they found out, they needed to re-circumcise those boys. In the Old Testament, it was not anything magical about circumcising boys. All it was a re-identifying with the covenant of Abraham. You see, all the years in Egypt, they were circumcised, meaning they were Abraham's sons. And what that meant is no matter how bad the Egyptians treated them, no matter how bad they made them work, how awful it was, they kept on rising to the top because they were under the covenant of Abraham. What is that covenant? Abraham's covenant said, I'll make your seed as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heavens. You got to understand, when you create covenant with God Almighty, no weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper, and every tongue that arises against you, you'll condemn. It's also dealing with that flesh. The Bible says we don't. In whom you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Young people, you are in a world where flesh, carnality, even sexual exploitation is pushed in your face on a regular basis. Say amen to me while I'm preaching good. You can't go down a street sign. You can't go into Walmart. You can't go to your high school, come on here, without seeing sexual things pushed in your face. On that little device you got, can I pick up your phone? On this little device you got here in your hand, in your purse, in your front pocket, your back pocket, in that little device, I can tell you, dear friend, that in about 3 seconds, you can click a button and pornography will be right in your face. Amen. Oh, so easily and so readily accessible. You've got to deal. Amen. We don't put laws on the phone. We've got to deal with that flesh. You're either going to want the anointing of the Holy Ghost, or you're going to operate in the carnality. It's as simple as that. If you want God, crucify that flesh. Get it out of the way. Let God deal with your soul. Well, you coming up here being all mad? No, not at all. But as an old man, if I could use that to show you how to get beyond what's tripping you up, to show you how. It doesn't matter to me if you got to fast that baby right there. Is the anointing worth that to you? That's separating or cutting away the flesh. Amen. You cannot live by the world's standards and operate in the standards of heaven in the spiritual. Two kids, they got phones for Christmas. Their mom and daddy bought them phones. First thing they wanted to do, we gotta go to Best Buy. This is Christmas. We got Christmas right here. Why do you want to go to Best Buy? We have to go and get a new OtterBox. That's what's on mine. We're going to get a cover for this thing. Well, wait a minute. We just bought it. Oh no, I'm getting a screen protector. I'm getting one of those that no glare. And I'm getting one of those that if you're standing right here, you can't see what I'm looking at. I ain't that old, baby. Well, the dad said, well, wait a minute. You mean to tell me you think that phone's ugly? I just paid $1,100. No, it's not ugly at all. It's beautiful. I love it. So are you making a slight against the manufacturer? You're saying it's not a good design? Why you want to cover it up? Well, no, it's not that at all. Well, why do you want to put a screen protector and a cover on that phone? Well, it will increase the value. Y'all ain't going to help me preach a lick. I can see that right now. It will increase the value. It will protect it from outside elements harming it. It will protect, amen, scratches. It will protect me dropping it or an accident or falling out of my hand or something detrimental that's out of my control. So I put the cover on it. I put the screen protector on it. And then it's going to be protected. It makes it better. Amen. And then the Father said, well, whenever I ask you to cover up your body, you roll around in your eyes and you look at me saying, I'm an old fogey. He said, I am telling you that the manufacturer of your body and the one that created you, he didn't mess it up. You're not ugly. You're not to be in a place where I want you to cover yourself because you're ugly. I want to protect the investment that God has put inside of me. Thank you for your little patty cake amens. We've come to the place. This is one of the high costs of the anointing. You can't live like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, sneak like the world. Come on, somebody. You can't sneak like the world and still live in the abundance of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You're not just anybody. You are Truth Camp. You've heard the preaching. You've lived under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now then, let the responsibility stand up and say, I'll take Jesus and let the world go by. Don't have time. Stay there any longer, and I know you're glad. The next place, he said, God has sent me to Bethel. I'm going to Bethel. You stay here. He said, I ain't staying here. If you've got to go to Bethel to house the anointing, I'm going to Bethel to house the anointing. Y'all all right? That next place, Bethel, the word Bethel means the house of God. The next thing that's got to happen in your life, young people, to house and operate in the anointing of the Holy Ghost is you've got to fall in love with the presence of God all by yourself. Let me preach to you. There is a difference in being in this altar with 4 or 5 dozen more around you shouting and being in your prayer closet where you get excited about Jesus all by yourself. If you're going to operate in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you've got to fall in love with Jesus by yourself. Amen. Because if you're in this altar, sometimes we can confuse feeling the emotions, amen, for feeling the power of God. Say amen. I'm not about not being emotional. I believe in it. Run, shout, jump, run, whatever you want to do. But let me tell you, most of all, know what you're shouting about. Know who you're shouting about. You got to fall in love with the presence of the Lord. I remember as an 18-year-old boy, some of your moms and dads might have heard me preach this years ago, but you've maybe never heard it. As an 18-year-old boy, I started praying every day in the back of our pasture. In the back of the woods. I went back to those woods. First day I went down there. Even it was grown up. Trees everywhere. I started walking. Tromping down briars. Pushing down brambles and sapling trees. Even walking it down. Only for those saplings to pop up behind me. After I walked and prayed about 15 minutes. I'd said everything I knew to say. I waited on God to show up in those woods. I prayed. Went back home. After 15 minutes. But I went back the next day, walked that same path, trumpeted down those briars, walking off those sapling trees, praying, God, meet me here. Meet me in these woods. I want a personal touch from God Almighty. Young people, you can't operate in the anointing until you get a personal relationship in prayer with Almighty God. I walked back and forth. After about 2 weeks, I was down there 30, 40 minutes. I'm praying, I'm talking to God. After a month or two, I'm praying out loud, loud, loud. Amen. A young preacher over in South Carolina messaged me and said, Brother McDonald, where did you learn to preach like you preach? And I thought, I know what he's asking, but I'm going to ask him what he's asking. What do you mean the way I preach? Hermeneutically? Homiletically? What? What are you talking about? He said, no. How did you learn to preach and you sweat and wipe your head and all that stuff? And you get loud. How do you do that? He said, I try and I can't do that. And I said to him, let me tell you how I learned this. Amen. Basically, what I am in my prayer closet is what I am in this pulpit. What I am when I'm talking to God is what I am when I'm in before God's people. If you're quiet in your prayer closet, you'll be quiet in that pulpit. But if you want a touch of God that'll burn you up, amen, that will cause you to operate in the fire of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then get free in that prayer closet. Let God touch your life and your soul. After about 3 months, every day, 4 o'clock, I'm going down to those woods. Amen. When I first went down there, I kicked around in those leaves, waiting on God to show up. After about 3 or 4 months, every day, I'm down in those woods. Brother Scott, I could walk out the back door of my house, open that screen door. When I walked out the back door of the house, I started feeling the anointing of the Holy Ghost of heaven. I wasn't even in the woods. I just walked out the back door. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm telling you that God was down in them woods, kicking around in those leaves, waiting on Brian McDonald to show up. If you'll get a prayer life, if you'll get a place where you're hungry for the presence of God, he'll show up. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That's 30 years ago. I went home this Christmas. We were cutting crepe myrtles at my mom's house, hauling off the limbs. My mother never wastes an opportunity for free labor. It don't matter if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. We'd go home for a funeral. Mama said, well, you know, we could probably trim my vines out there. We were cutting crepe myrtles. I'm hurrying here. We hauling off crepe myrtles, throwed them on the back of the bush hog. And we're going down and we throwed those crepe myrtle limbs off in the woods and Clay was on the back. I just drove on down to the spot where I used to pray. How many's got a personal prayer place? I'm talking about your place, not just a church. Your place. You got the place where you and God talk, not you and your church and God. I went back to the place, started fighting through the vines, fighting through the briars, pushing down briars that I walked down 30 years ago. Trying to find the spot. I walked out and there were oak trees. I began to position myself because as a boy, I remember those oak trees on each side of me and the boughs came over. It made like a canopy or a cathedral for me in the woods when I walked back and forth and prayed. I walked down in those woods and tried to position myself and finally I found the spot and I let my eyes begin to fall down to the ground to see if I could find that little 8-inch path that I had walked out 30 years ago. It might have been an inch or two deep. It was slick. There was nothing left. I'd walked it down even for those years. He'd been praying in those woods. I was been gone 30 years. I've been preaching 30 years. tears. When I got down, my eyes fell to the ground. Instantly, tears jumped out of my eyes. Oh, God, I feel it right now. Amen. I began to weep. He didn't know what was wrong with me. I looked at that place where I once prayed, and in that pathway where it used to be 8 inches wide and about 2 inches deep, it's now 2.5 foot wide and about 8 inches deep. And God said, I never quit walking in these woods after you left. Can I tell you, if you will make an appointment with God, fall in love with His presence, He will pour in the anointing in your life. You got to fall in love with God's presence. I hope I can finish. If not, I'll quit wherever I have to. In Chronicles chapter 13, I came across a story how David was bringing the ark of God home on a cart. The cart, the oxen stumbled in the cart, rocked. Uzzah touched the ark to support it, and God killed him. It made David mad. And he said, I'll leave this ark here. There was a man that stepped up. You read it in your Bible. His name was Obed-Edom. He said, I will let the ark stay at my house. I just live over the hill. Let me tell you something. There is no shortage on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Only vessels to house the anointing. Obed-Edom said, my house is just over the hill. Bring the ark to my house. David said, take it to his house. They took the ark of the covenant and they put it in Obed-Edom's house. Not in the back room, but in the living room, baby. They moved out the 52-inch color television, put it in the storage building, and put the Ark of the Covenant right there in the front room of the house. Are you helping me right here? They didn't relegate him to the back room. They didn't put him in the cry room. They didn't say there'll be no talking in tongues in this church. They let him come right to the front. Say amen. For 3 months, the Ark of the Covenant stayed in Obed-Edom's house. The Bible says everything in his house was blessed. You can't live in the presence of God and not be changed. Is that right? I'm probably going to quit right about here. I won't get to the other two, but I'm sure they're on YouTube somewhere. He said that every place he went, he was blessed. David went back, read the Bible, or the scroll, found out how to have revival, and he went back and came to get that ark. Brought the priest, and they shouldered the ark, which the responsibility of bringing the ark home was the priest in the Old Testament. The responsibility of revival in the New Testament is still borne on the shoulders of the men and women of God. Say amen. If you're going to pastor a church, you're going to be a youth leader, you're going to be a youth worker, then it is your responsibility to let the anointing of the Holy Ghost flow in the hearts and lives of those around you. I'm almost there. David came, got that ark. Obed-Edom is standing on the front porch with his wife. And the Bible says that David and the priest would take 6 paces. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 from here to that pulpit, and they would stop, they would offer a sacrifice, they would, after they sacrifice unto God, they would ceremonially cleanse the utensils, pack everything back up, clean up that spot, and march 6 more paces and do it all over again. David went 6 miles from Obed-Edom's house all the way to the city of David, even where the ark would rest. 6 miles is where that ark was. It took David 78 days, if you count in for eating and sleeping, and how long it took to sacrifice. It took David 78 days to get that ark from Obed-Edom. Adam's house, back to the place where revival would come. David was the king. He was running things. But if it was important enough for the king of Israel to spend 78 days getting the presence of God back home, it's worth it for us to pray every day. Come on here. I'm almost there. David, he got back. He said, you know what? We have camp meeting. We're going to have revival. Tell you what I want us to do first thing, get a choir. Y'all going to have a choir here this week? Y'all do a choir? Amen. David said, I want a choir. And I want to fill that place up with singers. Amen. What he did not recognize or realize is whenever David left that place, Obed-Edom was standing on the porch, said, Mama, get your stuff. Pack the wagon. Where are we going? Wherever that ark goes. Y'all hear me? Come on, young people. Come on, young people. You want the anointing? You don't go where the crowd goes. You go where the ark goes. You want the anointing of the Holy Ghost? You don't follow the crowd the rest of this week. We're going to all play ball. We're going to all go over here. We're going to all go eat. We're going to do. Why don't you find yourself in these altars in the midnight hour? Why don't you let a counselor start looking for you this week, laying in these altars, saying, God, I can't leave until the anointing of the Holy Ghost is in my life. Oh, church. Obed-Edom had no more than pulled up on the lot. David said, hey, I want a choir to sing. Obed-Edom throwed the reins of the mule on the post and said, I'll sing in the choir. Amen. Let me sing in the choir. Amen. I love the presence of God. He lived in my house 3 months. If I've got to sing in the choir, amen, to be back in the presence of God, let me sing in the choir. You read it in 1 Chronicles 13, 14, 15. And David inquired of the Lord, who do you want to sing in your choir? And the Lord said, let Obed-Edom sing in the choir. Amen. Hell, he put him in the choir. David said, hey, I need a gopher. I need a porter. I need somebody to go get stuff, pick up milk, pick up groceries. Obed-Edom said, hey, I'll be the gopher if that's what it takes for me to get the anointing in my life again. I'll do it. Even David inquired of the Lord, who do you want to be your porter? And the Lord said, appoint Obed-Edom as a porter. Even here you go. Go get stuff. I need some musicians. I need somebody to play these instruments. I need somebody that can do skillfully. Obed-Edom said, hey, I can play the guitar. I can do it. I'll do it. And the Bible says, he asked the Lord, who do you want to play? And the Lord said, appoint Obed-Edom to play skillfully on that instrument. And David said, you're in the musician pit. He said, whatever I got to do, I'll do it in order to operate in that anointing of the Holy Ghost. Finally, David said, I need a doorkeeper in the house of God. I need somebody that will stand at the post outside that ark, ram their arm in that curtain, let the priest go in to minister. Obed-Edom said, let me do it. I'll do it. I stood guard over that anointing for 3 months. I'll do it. And he said, who do you want to be the doorkeeper? And the Lord said, appoint Obed-Edom as the doorkeeper in the house of God. The only thing that he would be able to do is put his arm in that door, open up that curtain. He would never go in, but if that's as close as he could get to the anointing, then that is what he would do. I love it. God, who do you want to be your doorkeeper? Who do you want to stand outside that door to be the closest to the anointing on planet Earth? Obed-Edom said, hey, I'll do it. Who do you want to do it, Lord? The Lord said, appoint Obed-Edom. Doorkeeper. Ooh. You see, I guess coming from where I see the cost. Years. This ain't just a minute or two for me. It ain't just a minute or two for Brother Scott. It's our life. Brother Tom, Brother Goodwin, Brother, I see the cost. Brother Tommy, I see the cost. It's not a few minutes, it's a lifetime. Obed-Edom said, let me do it. David, who do you want, God? Let Obed-Edom be the doorkeeper. Maybe David talked to God, said, Lord, why in this world, every time I start asking you who you want, I need a choir. Remember, you said, put Obed-Edom in the choir. I needed a porter. I needed a gopher. You said, let Obed-Edom be the porter. I needed a musician. You picking Obed-Edom to be the music. Why? I need a doorkeeper. And you're putting Obed-Edom at the door. Why is it? Why is it every time I need somebody to do something in your house, you pick Obed-Edom? I wasn't there. I don't know. But maybe the Lord said to David, Obed-Edom made room for me. Obed-Edom made room for me in his house. I am going to make room for him in mine. Let me tell you something, young people. I'll just take those two places and quit. Stand on your feet with me. There's some of you that need to get hungry for the presence of God. You need to let God deal with your flesh. You need to let him cut away the sin, the pride, the lust, all of that. Get it out of the way. And then in this altar, you've got to come to a place where you are hungry for God all by yourself. All alone. The next two places, and I'm just going to tell you, not preach. He went to Jericho, which represents faith. You've got to have faith to believe God. There are some prophets and preachers. There's some people with the gift of wisdom, knowledge, and healing in your body, in your life. You're housing the anointing right now. You've got to engage it with faith. Talk to me, somebody. Amen. You got to have faith. Amen. I'll tell you this, and we're coming to the altar by way of faith. You got to believe God. If God's dealing with you to lay your hand on somebody, to operate in a gift of the Spirit, don't you be afraid. Well, I'm not old enough. Yeah. If you're old enough to have the Holy Ghost, you're old enough to operate in the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? In the Azusa Street Revival, 12-year-old boys and girls were laying hands on the sick and they were recovering. In China tonight, the leaders of the Three Self Church in China is not some old Chinese man with a pencil skinny beard right onto the bottom of his chin. No, sir. The leader of the Three Self Church in China today are 13 to 16-year-old girls. That's who's the leader of the Three Self Church. Don't tell me you can't operate in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can't tell me you can't live with the power of God in operation in your life. You can't tell me God won't heal through your life. And then finally they crossed Jericho, which is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't have time to preach it, but I'm going to tell you, these things happened. When they went in to cross the river of Jordan, that's the willingness to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Joshua told them, while you're there, pick up 12 stones, pile them on the bank. And they picked up 12 stones and piled them on the bank. And they said, why are we doing this? When your children come along, and they say, what mean these stones? Lindsay, come on. you'll help me today. What mean these stones? You're going to explain to them that is the power of the Lord God Almighty that has brought you to this place. That's the significance of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But listen, here's what we most of the time don't read. Not only did they pile 12 stones on the bank, y'all know what I'm about to preach? They piled up 12 stones in the riverbed. There were 12 on the bank and 12 in the bed. If those 12 stones represent the power of the Holy Ghost in operation in your life that everyone can see, then those 12 stones that lay under the waters of the Jordan represent the working power of the Holy Ghost in your life that nobody sees. The power of God, whenever you would give in, when you would succumb, when you would fall, the good Holy Ghost on the inside says, you're going to make it. You're going to live in power and anointing above this battle in your life. Come on, every preacher and every counselor first. If you will, please help me. Every counselor, every adult preacher and counselor saved, full of the Holy Ghost, please come first. Please come and spread out across the front of this church from one side to the other, facing this congregation. If you will, face the congregation. Hallelujah. There's a high cost to the true anointing, young people. A high cost. What is it worth to you? Is it worth the sacrifice? Amen. We can adjust. Is that all right? Can y'all come down this way, ladies? Would y'all come down this way, counselors? Come on, fill in this gap. Amen. Give them a little room over here. Hallelujah. Come on. There you go. Now then, young people, I wonder, are you truly hungry for the real anointing of the Holy Ghost of heaven? Are you willing to give up everything to house and operate in this anointing? If so, I believe God's got you here the right week. The right men are preaching. You're going to be blessed. But let's begin right now. Everybody in this house, come on to the altar. Don't sit back. Everybody, come on. Fill these altars right now. Begin to get in and tell Him, Lord, I want the anointing of the Holy Ghost of heaven. Come on, slip in. Begin to slip up your hands and begin to pray right now. Don't get in a hurry. Just slip your hands up and tell Him, God, I want the fresh anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. The mighty name. Come on, counselors, preachers, begin to move out. Let the anointing of God begin to flow. Let the Spirit of the Lord begin to move and operate through you.
I'm at Gilgal. This is my surrender.
Take away want you to lay your hand on that one beside you. Come on, begin to pray for that one beside you. It might be you that prays the prayer of faith. It might be you that touches heaven on their behalf. Don't let them pray by themselves. Come on, pray for somebody. Believe God for them right now. Listen to me. These that are praying, pray on. You're going to be exposed to moments just like this for the rest of this week. Tonight, Brother Scott's going to preach. You're going to be brought to a moment just like this. It ain't so much a shout as it is a choice. We shout, I love it, but we got to choose. We've got to make a choice. Is this anointing worth what it cost you to operate in? Is it worth what it's going to cost you to house it, to walk in the authority of that anointing? Because see, there's some folks in this room, in this altar, God's calling you away from the crowd. Youth camp is all about the crowd. But in this crowd, God's calling you out. When you go home, it won't be to the group that we're going to run with. It won't be to the group that we're going to do ministry with. It's going to be to a prayer closet all by yourself. It's going to be a place. Listen to me. God called Moses to the backside of the wilderness 40 years, but he came out a deliverer. He called Abraham to obscurity, but he came out the patriarch and the father of Israel. He's called Paul to Arabia, but he came back the apostle to the ages. Come on here. He called Elijah the Tishbite, amen, to the brook Cherith, but he came back out the prophet of God. Every time God calls you away to a place where you're all by yourself, you're all alone, then God is putting in you what you need to change the world. Will you go? Will you go? Slip your hands up before we give this service back to the leaders of this camp. Slip your hands up and say, God, if you've got to take me to the wilderness, if you've got to take me to Cherith, God, I'm hungry for your presence. I'm hungry for the anointing of the Holy Ghost of heaven. Come on, pray. Pray, young people, pray.
Created everything. don't you just raise your hands if you haven't already raised them. Say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my heart and life this morning. Thank you that you have made me a vessel that I can house your anointing. Thank you, Lord, today that I have been given the privilege, Lord, to be what you would have me to be. And help me daily and every hourly to surrender to you so your perfect will can be accomplished. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. With those that are praying still, they can remain praying. But if you would like to go to lunch, lunch is being served right now at the kitchen. We do not want to bother those that are continuing to pray. You may stay here in the sanctuary and pray as long as you would like. But directly after, we will continue on with the schedule this morning. We appreciate the ministry of the McDonald family today. And thank you for your participation in this service this morning.